now just me and you this week.
Yep. The good old days. Back to the good old days.
The good old days of it just being me and you, or the good old days of us recording in the same space?
Both. But mainly just being me and you, even though I think it's always been the three of us.
It has always been the three of us.
It feels like the good old days when he's not here.
He is Alex Sharples, not joining us this week. I don't want to get into why. Probably classified, but...
Yep.
Needless to say, you know... Listen, Sharples, if you're out there, I hope you've got your skis, mate. That's all I'll say.
And that briefcase.
The briefcase and the skis.
Yeah.
Is paramount. Let's get right into this week. Yeah. I mean, I think the best game to talk about, probably the only game I really think was worth digging well into, was the Thursday night game. Can you actually believe it for once? The Thursday night game was the best game of the week by far.
Yeah, it was all. It's always nice to wake up on a Friday morning and see that your opponent has scored 120 points and you've already got a 1% win projection for the week, which is what happened to me in one league.
How many plays did he have in the
four
game?
Four.
Nice. That's, I mean, just do the math there. 40 points per player. 30. 30 points per player.
30 points per player. But, I mean, obviously, yeah. You had Chase going like completely.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe not weirdly if it was a shootout, but not the best game for the running backs, even though those points seemingly all over the place.
I know. I think they're like, running backs get a hard deal, like, in... sort of in the NFL in general, but also in fantasy, because when you think of a fantasy, like the game that's best for fantasy, it is that, you know, shootout, wheeling and dealing, you know, absolutely, you know, throwing bombs all over the place, which actually, you know what, not necessarily isn't that good for the running backs. But yeah, we're obviously talking about the Bengals, Ravens. Bengals lost by 1 point, 34-35. Listen, Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow in this game, they combined for 711 passing yards and 8 passing touchdowns.
I mean, I'm just looking back now, and at the start of October, it went to overtime, the game, and that finished 41-38 Ravens. So talk about, like, high scoring, right to the very end, couple of games between these two teams this year, kind of the story of each team's season as well.
I know, and I feel like last time that game was played in October, like you're saying, I feel like then we were even going like, this is like the quarterback duel that you talk about, you know, like years ago it was Brady and Manning and, you know, and Elway and Marino. It's like, I feel like we sort of said that last time, but exactly the same thing again. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, two of the best in the game.
Burrow threw the ball 56 times. Like, you know, I mean, you're just looking into the numbers and they both threw 4 touchdowns, and it's the story of the season, the story of the careers, really. They're both throwing 4 touchdowns, but Lamar's doing it on, like, you know, half the passing attempts. He's just always been a really efficient quarterback, and that goes to, like, kind of how the Ravens play as well and where some of the touchdowns came from, because obviously there was a few long ones as well, but he's always been so efficient, Jackson.
I know. You got to feel for the Bengals team, I guess, because... there was a couple of times I'm watching the highlights and it's just like, okay, the Ravens have just scored. And then, you know, like if you press on YouTube like twice and it skips 10 seconds. Well, if you do that right after the Bengals scored, the Ravens scored, you'd have missed the Bengals touchdown because it was literally the first play afterwards. Literally, they get the ball and Burrow just throws an absolute bomb to Chase. I mean...
fantasy goodness.
I mean, this is what we've seen in the past from the Bengals when they're firing on all cylinders. And when I say all cylinders, I don't know. Maybe that isn't quite true because T. Higgins wasn't playing in this game. Now, there is the argument out there where it's like, okay, well, they obviously know what they're doing with T. Higgins now because look how many points they're putting up and T. Higgins isn't playing, you know, the past 2 weeks and they're still putting up. But then again, it's like, yeah, but if he was there, would he have helped push them over the line, that extra few points or something? You don't know.
Plus, the Jamar Chase stat line isn't a sustainable, like, kind of...
You tell me he's not going to get 200 yards again.
No. It's not a sustainable or kind of easy to replicate stat line.
It's funny you should say that. It's funny you should say about replicating that stat line, because did you know that that Lamar Jackson game, 264 receiving yards, is the 19th best...
Jamar Chase game.
19th best all-time single-season game yardage. And also, he's got better than that 2 years ago when he put up 266 yards. So he is able to replicate. He's the only player in NFL history with two of the top 20 all-time receiving yardage games.
We play fantasy from season to season, Luke. That's all I'm saying. And you just told me that happened 2 years ago, so that means nothing to me.
But one more time than anyone else has done it in the top 20. But yeah, so Higgins, I mean, he's, what's going... Are they better with him in there?
Yeah.
I mean, and would they have probably won this game if he was in there?
Probably not, because that's just not how the Bengals season is going. The Ravens are probably still going to find a way to win.
Mm.
But I think the Bengals are a better team with T. Higgins. And, you know, I alluded last week to the off-the-field stuff that is happening with Jermaine Burton. Did you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. When you said it, I did look it up, and it's, wow.
Yeah, funny. I mean, it's just completely like, you're never going to get on the field if you're kind of acting like he's acting, you know, not reporting
Come to
the game in your pyjamas, being seen sat at a slot machine.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, come on.
You've been handed a golden opportunity that so many people would kill for, and you just, I don't know, squandering it. That's ridiculous. But unreal game, unbelievable game. Another decent one was Steelers Commanders. Steelers also won that one by a single point, 28-27. Listen, I mean, Steelers are running the ball. They're making it hard for teams to run on them. And then they're relying on Russ if it comes down to the wire, and he's making it happen. Like that absolutely textbook, vintage, classic Russell Wilson moon ball to Mike Williams to essentially win the game. I don't think Justin Fields gives you that. So this is, you know, this was the gamble that they were taking when they benched the, 4-1 quarterback. But I think he just unlocks a few other gears to that offense, really.
It was a great throw by Wilson. Yeah. I mean, and he does throw like such a great deep ball. And, you know, Mike Williams turned up, 2 days ago, kind of thing, basically. And he's just kind of, there's always going to be a few plays, a package or two in there where it's a bit like, he's just going to
get him out there.
Yeah. And, you know, he kind of had a bit of a response to Aaron Rodgers as well, which was good. I mean, you know, it's probably the stat line you're going to get. Russ is going to throw about 200 yards. He's probably normally going to complete a bit more than 50% of his passes. I think it's just good things for Pickens and the offense.
Certainly, really. I know. Like, how far can this team go, though? I mean, it's sort of a bit of a moot point, really, when they're in the same division as the Ravens, because it's like, well, they're not going to get past them. But, I mean, could they? Is there a world where the Steelers are in the Super Bowl?
Not the Super Bowl.
No?
No. There's a world where they could get to the AFC Championship game, but I don't think the Super Bowl. I think if they played the Chargers in the postseason, which could very much happen, it'd be the most boring game in the history of the world. But I think they're two really good. At the minute, my playoff surprise team in either conference would be the Chargers, in terms of a team that we think could make it to the conference final that maybe is unexpected. My pick would be the Chargers. So based on that, I'm going to say no to the Steelers.
For the Chargers, I mean, speaking of, obviously they won this week as well against the Titans. Seen a bit of a shift here. Everyone was like the quite high T, running the ball, leaning on the defense. But credit to Jim Harbaugh. He's not a moron. And he realized that he had an incredible quarterback at his disposal. And, I mean, Herbert's numbers this week weren't massive, but they've been letting him air it out. They've been letting Herbert control the game. He's been running it a bit as well. Justin Herbert, he's actually sneakily... Listen, I'm in a couple of leagues where I'm going to start Justin Herbert this week for fantasy football because he has actually legitimately become a fantasy relevant quarterback, which over the past sort of like this year, maybe last year as well, when that team was struggling, it was a bit like, oh no, these days are gone. But no, Justin Herbert, it was to the point where it was like, actually, if I can see this trend carrying on and maybe Ladd McConkey turns into something or they pick up another piece on that offense, just know it could be a real fantasy force in years to come, really, because fur crack to the professional NFL head coach, he's playing to his team's strengths.
And I mean, they did still run the ball like 40 times this week, but 9 of those were with Herbert. He got the rushing touchdown, the 30 yards, and this is the value of having a rushing quarterback. You know, the yards are more valuable when they get them with the legs than they do for the air. So that, even if he didn't get the touchdown, that 30 yards is an extra 3 points on top of what you'd assume or hope was kind of a really good passing quarterback performance from Herbert. Anyway, I'm talking like week to week. So, and that 3 points is going to add up by the end of the season. And like I said, that's even without the rushing touchdown, which he ended up getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, it's funny that we spoke about the Steelers, we just spoke about the Chargers, and another, I think the three sneakiest teams, I'll label them, three sneakiest teams going into the playoffs. And this last team I want to talk about as well, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Again, with another dominant victory. I know it was against the Jets, who are garbage, but 31-6, they're still atop the NFC West, some breathing room, now that the Rams lost the snooze fest on Monday night. I don't know.
I don't think there's anything sneaky about what the Cardinals are doing, though. I think they're being very much noticed, as is Kyler Murray. I mean, this was embarrassing for the Jets.
Did Aaron Rodgers get injured, or did he just come out of the game? Like, what was going on? I saw Aaron Rodgers out of the game for a little bit. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was just, I don't know. I don't know. The Cardinals are nice. And we keep, like we said last week.
The one thing I don't get is there's talk about Murray being comeback player of the year. But did he not come back, like, you know,
halfway
through last season? Into last season,
literally.
Which I don't get, but okay.
He did. I know. That's one of those narrative ones where it's like they'll give it to a player who people just forgot about.
I know.
But I do like what I'm seeing from the Cardinals. I mean, it's been, you know, the past 2 weeks, I know you're looking at the opposition who they've been against, the Bears and the Jets. Not great, but points.
The Jets were galvanised after the performance last week. So I think people were surprised by what they played like.
I know, so single digits given up in both this week and last week. Now, I mean, I think we forget here that the Cardinals head coach, Jonathan Gannon,
JG,
as well as being the absolute cringiest, one of the cringiest head coaches
Kendall
out there.
Roy.
I also, you know, side note, like I just, knowing what we know about Gannon now, cringe factor wise, and obviously Nick Sirianni, and obviously there's been some funny clips with Shane Steichen on the sidelines. So I would have paid money to get a Hard Knocks Eagles when they were all there.
Yeah,
and the three of them were there, because that would have had to be one of the most insufferable coaching
buildings in the world.
But the Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon was the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, and he was a good one when he was there. So I think it's only a matter of time before this Cardinals defense did start stepping, because he is a defensive head coach. So it's only a matter of time before they started stepping up, I guess. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Cardinals. Same division, 49ers, dicey win against the Bucs, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
this game had the best play of the year, though.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for the winning team.
No, Baker Mayfield just stiff-arming Nick Bosa into oblivion while he's trying.
Couldn't have stiff-armed a nicer guy.
Couldn't have stiff-armed a nicer guy, really.
That's not Bosa not being able to grab him or kind of.
He's just moving. He's moving, yeah.
Mayfield's holding him off. He's locked the arm in place. I mean, Mayfield. And you look at what's around him and he's just so tough and hard to bring down, and just like
And a were as well.
And a were, but like scrappy, and the scrappiness that when he was younger came across as arrogance, now it comes across as like, I don't know if there's anyone in the league that neutrals would rather root for than this
guy. No, I know, yeah. I mean, if you listen to this podcast for a little while, you know that I was a famous Baker Mayfield hater for quite a while. I do come round playing good football, and like you said, good to root for. And that play was just mental. And like I said, it's just the composure as well to do that. He's not throwing it away straight away. He's waiting for, I think it was Rashad White or something, was it, to get open. He's waiting for the window, which is just crazy. Mint play. I mean, 49ers, dicey win, but then again, they did miss three field goals, so they maybe should have won that a bit more comfortably than they did. I mean, speaking of three field goals missed as well, Falcons also missed three field goals, but they lost this game by 3 points. So, I mean, should have gone another way probably. Yeah, Younghoe Koo missed three field goals in this one.
On kick of that as well.
I know.
And regardless of who was home, or that was
the Saints.
I know for a fact that was inside.
It was inside, yeah.
Because they both playing down.
I mean, to me, the Bucs look like the best team in this division. Like, they've just... I think the record's quite unflattering.
So I said this the other week when you weren't here. Me and Sharples did, I think about 2 weeks ago, when the Falcons beat the Bucs. We did... or was it last week? We did a not buying it win. And I said the Falcons, after the second time that they beat the Buccaneers, and I'm like, I get it. They've kind of got the monopoly over this division in terms of if it comes down to in division, what the record is.
Yeah.
But I don't buy the fact that the because when the Falcons beat the Buccaneers for the second time, it was as if the Falcons had this division locked down. And I think it's way too early in the season to say that.
Yeah.
Especially considering, you know, what we're looking at record-wise there. We're looking at...
The Falcons are 6-4.
6-4, and, 4-6.
4-6,
you just need a two-game turnaround kind of thing. I could see it. I could see it.
I mean, that's the Buccaneers, that four-game losing streak that they're on, which feel... I mean, obviously, they've lost key players in that time, but they've still been playing good.
I know that it's not like a four-game losing streak. It's not like a Bears four-game losing streak.
No.
You're not like ready fire to turn it all up, fire the coach. I think you can say that Todd Bowles makes some pretty like mind-boggling decisions clockwise, management-wise and stuff sometimes in games, but you're not ready to rip it all up like the Bears are at the minute.
Yeah, I know. The Lions,
because you've got to take it in context as well with the players that they've got available at the moment. Yeah,
exactly. The Lions... See, stole a win in Houston.
Yeah.
Abysmal for staff for the Lions. Yeah.
Good kicking.
Yeah. 23-7 it was at halftime to the Texans. And then it was that score at halftime. And also in the game, Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. Mm. They were just destined to win this game, obviously. Yeah. And that's what you see with championship sides. I mean, speaking of destined to win, the Chiefs are 9-0.
Oh.
And they had a blocked game-winning field goal by Denver to win the game for the Chiefs on special teams.
It was like 35 yards out.
I know,
literally. It was like a chip shot.
Yeah, it was a chip shot. So, again, Lions, Chiefs, is it both of our Super Bowl picks, that?
Yeah,
I mean, it was I have the Chiefs to win.
I think, did I have the Lions to beat the Chiefs?
Maybe,
I've got them both together anyway.
Yeah, but...
so they're looking good at the
Mean, yeah, exactly. That's what you see about these championship teams. They just win when they shouldn't do.
I know, and if there's ever like players where you think there's a team of destiny, really, it's players like that where they have no right to kind of...
Yeah. No, exactly. But yeah, I mean, elsewhere, yeah, we mentioned some of these, the Rams, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Vikings and the Bears all didn't score a touchdown this week. All of those teams I just listed didn't score a touchdown, but one of them teams won.
If
that pesky Sun wasn't there, CeeDee Lamb would have...
I think the Vikings-Jaguars was the... I'm calling it now, worst game of the year so far.
Yeah,
that was awful.
I think so. I mean, tell me how much...
Jones just get thrown
Tell me how much this boggles... Tell me how much this boggles your mind, though. This sentence is just full of sort of... things that shouldn't work. So the Vikings didn't score a touchdown, but they won that game. and the only touchdown in that game was a rushing touchdown by Mac Jones. What is that game?
This is one where it's like, this is an alternate universe that I don't want to be a part of anymore.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
I know. Right, let's get over there and go into categories then. Impressive victory, Al.
I'm going to go Cardinals, just because they, like, you know, I didn't buy the Jets. However, I'm not ignorant of the fact that they looked galvanized after the win over Houston. It looked like there was a potential for the season to be saved, and they didn't even put up a fight, whether the Cardinals didn't give them a chance to put up a fight. Yes, I'm going to go Cardinals.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I also went Cardinals. Yeah, a lot of close games this week, a lot of upsets. Cardinals had the most dominant victory, really. Mm-hmm. Not buying it win.
There's a couple that I like. Just based on how unconvincing it is, I'm not going to go one of the obvious ones. I'm going to go the Vikings because I don't buy this team with Sam Darnold anymore. He being Kevin O'Connell, made Mr. Nasser himself, Josh Dobbs, look like a good quarterback for about 2-3 weeks last year. Yeah. Did the same thing with Darnold for the first month of the season. Sam Darnold's the same guy that he's always been. He throws it. I was listening to PFT maybe yesterday, and Chris Sims was saying that, you know, he throws it. It's not like he's throwing these interceptions, and as soon as it leaves, he's like, oh no, he looks like he's throwing it where he's supposed to be throwing it.
Yeah.
It just goes to the other team. So Vikings, that was really, really uninspiring victory.
Yeah, you know what? I thought my pick was going to be a spicy one, but obviously not, because I also went for the Vikings. Yeah, I mean, the 7-2, but...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But
I thought they lost more than two games.
No, but...
Oh, because you know why that is? Because
they won this game. Because they won this game.
Yeah. Because I'm looking, thinking, how can that be possible? Because I'm sure they lost two games. But, oh, no, yeah, they won.
They won the game. That's how bad the win was. The Vikings, exactly like you're saying. Maybe the honeymoon period is over. For Sam Darnold. Worst team in the league.
Right now it's going to be the Bears, really.
Yeah.
Lose 19-3 to this Patriots team. I mean, Giants are a close second.
Yeah.
But the Bears at the minute, just they don't look like anything.
No, nothing. No, it's a stark contrast to what they were the first month of the year. Worst team in the league for me, I just put New York. You can pick one of the two. Both correct. So
Dan Jones.
New York is the worst team, whichever one of those you'd like. But some of the best players on the week, we spoke about Ja'Marr Chase. 11 receptions, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, over 50 fantasy points. Crazy, crazy game. I mean, listen, the top three performers this week are all in the same game. Joe Burrow, 428 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, 290 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 33 rushing yards as well. Yeah, I mean, unreal game. Unreal. Like, sorry if you're facing any of those guys. Jalen Hurts, he's genuinely putting together, I think, a really nice season at the minute. 202 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and then 56 rushing yards, and also 2 rushing touchdowns. You know what? Since the Eagles' bye week, which was in week 5, so since the last 5 weeks of the season, Jalen Hurts has been the quarterback 1 for fantasy football. And he's second in the whole league on the whole season in rushing touchdowns with 10. So, I mean, the tush push might not be as effective as it was, but Jalen Hurts is still getting it done one way or another. You know,
like they don't do it anymore because Barkley's there.
Exactly. Jalen Hurts is that elite fantasy player again. He is. Yeah. He just is. Bijan Robinson, 144 total yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Al, I mean, I know you made a pretty blockbuster trade now, main league for Robinson.
Can we talk about this? Because we might have some listeners who, you know, if you've not been playing fantasy football for that long and you're wondering how, especially at this point in the season, how do I make a move? Maybe I've got a lot of kind of middling pieces. I need to try and get like a game changer at one of my positions. So just for reference, the move that I just made this week, I looked kind of at the other teams in my league, assessed who maybe had a losing record and who needed help all over the team, not just in one area. So they're really top heavy. I kind of focused in on one of those top heavy teams, this person had Bijan Robinson. So I thought, right, I'm going to replace him with a downgrade at running back. So I'll add in Ramondre Stevenson. I need something really to kind of spice the trade up. A player that's maybe not been helping me very much recently, but he's going to be good, you'd hope, when he's on the field. So I put T. Higgins in there as well. And this person really needed help at tight end also. So I added Evan Engram in there because I have a starting tight end already. So I wasn't necessarily playing, apart from Ramondre Stevenson, I wasn't playing any of these players weekly. But it wasn't like I was handing him rubbish. These players, apart from Higgins, went straight into this guy's lineup. So it's just a way that, you know, you can package up people you've got. You know, I replaced the running back straight away because obviously I got Bijan and my bench isn't as strong as it was now, but my starting lineup is much stronger than it was. So just for reference, especially at this time of the season where you kind of know what and who players are, so that's how much I gave up to get this player. You might say that's a lot. You might say it was a bargain. It feels right balance-wise, especially looking at the teams.
Package up the crap ones.
Exactly.
Package up the crap ones. You should write a book about that called The Art of the Deal.
Yeah.
I don't think that's been taken.
I do that.
About fantasy football trades.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, 266 passing yards, one touchdown, and then two rushing touchdowns for Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. He's another one who's sort of been pretty nice as the season's gone on. This is stupid. This is really stupid, this next one. But literally, what is he? He's either wide receiver two on the week.
Yeah.
MVS, three receptions, 109 yards, and two touchdowns. He's got the Shaheed role, and that's what he is. That's what he is, to be fair, but... it's so funny how much of an archetype that is under Derek Carr. Like,
well, you know what's also funny? The fact that so much gets made about Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs, yet they already had that type of guy in Scanlon.
MBS, I know.
And they didn't do anything with it.
Exactly, yeah. Calvin Ridley putting together a nice run of games here. He had five receptions, 84 yards, and two touchdowns. And then Chuba Hubbard as well. Fair enough, just signed a contract extension this week, 4 years, $33 million. He repaid the team to the tune of 153 rushing yards and a touchdown in the Panthers' win in Germany. This is a good player. And obviously, you know, dynasty players might not be rejoicing about his contract because of Jonathan Brooks. But listen, teams... Again, I feel like we say this every single week, or I do anyway. Teams want as many good players as possible.
Plus, if you can do something like Detroit has done, which is best-case scenario for fantasy as well, because both of those players are really good for fantasy. Yeah. But, you know, if you can get Hubbard and Brooks in as kind of a makeshift Montgomery and Gibbs. Because the thing about Montgomery and Gibbs, they both do have such specific roles. You want those two running backs. It's like Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. You want those two running backs with the different kind of personalities and play types.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst players on the week, though, for fantasy football. Ooh. Jaden Daniels. This is the tough defense he was against. Tough defenses is going to happen. Even though I was surprised that he was in this section, even though the Commanders did put up 27 points. But, 14 of those points were two Austin Ekeler rushing touchdowns.
I think he played well in real life. They moved the ball. He moved the ball.
Justin Jefferson, I mean, if he'd have been able to catch the passes that Sam Darnold threw to the other team that were directed at him, then this would have been a different story. Saquon Barkley, just one of those games, I guess, really. They got up early. Mm-hmm. They didn't necessarily need to lean on Barkley. CeeDee Lamb, the Cooper Rush effect, maybe get used to this, unfortunately. Maybe a bit like a Tyreek Hill with any other player apart from Tua, you know, situation. Garrett Wilson was coming off a really nice run of games. DeAndre Swift, he's just a prisoner of this offense at the minute. But that's anymore. You know, the handcuffs may have been cut free, as we'll get into in the news. Zay Flowers, remember when I made Zay Flowers my pick last week? Yeah. And I said, everything is lining up, but sometimes he just doesn't do it. He didn't do it this week. Yeah. He just didn't do it. 35 points scored, and Flowers did nothing for you for fantasy. Didn't fancy it. Cade Otton had a bit of a down game. Brian Thomas Jr., also disappointing game. I mean, Mac Jones in, and also maybe a bit hampered. I'm trying to get out of Brian Thomas Jr. As much as I can, but keep that on the down low.
Okay.
For reasons why we'll get into in the news as well. But yeah, all those guys were single digit this week. Jaden Waddle as well. Now, this one was well annoying because I caught quite a bit of the game last night. Last night, as in the Monday night game. He had two catches for 55 yards in the first drive. Right. And I'm sat here going, unreal.
He's going on.
Now he's like PPR, 7.5 points already. Field Yates of ESPN tweeted out how that was already on the first drive his highest yardage total since week one. I'm like, he's back, buzzing, let's do this. For the rest of the game, the other 3.5 quarters of the game, he caught one pass for 2 yards.
Why would you go back to what's working?
What? No, yeah. Why would you go back to what's working? What was that all about? That was so frustrating.
I mean, there's still some growing pains with this Miami offense. Obviously, they won the game last night. I think it was probably off the back of Rams not taking the opportunities, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But yeah, that's that. I mean, I throw this over to you, Al. I know this is a sporadic segment. Is anyone heading to the booth?
Well, did I say Aaron Rodgers the other week for this segment?
Yeah, but we maybe not the commentary booth. The VP booth?
He's not added to that anymore, either.
That's the thing now.
I'd say Aaron Rodgers because, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, because he's such a great pick for this because he is just going to retire really quietly at the end of the season. But whether that is into a booth, I don't know. But I'm going to say Rodgers because he looks old still. Tell you who doesn't look old, Calais Campbell, 38 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Making moves. He's back on the field after being in the Sky Sports booth.
I know, yeah.
And so he's out of the booth.
That's what I mean, yeah. As I said, I watched quite a bit of that game Monday night, and every defensive play that the Dolphins made, it felt like it was Calais Campbell doing it. On to the news and injuries, though. We'll start with the injuries. Dak Prescott. Yeehaw, guys. Yeehaw. He's undergoing season-ending surgery after a hamstring injury. The coward's way out.
Off a season-ending surgery to any of those players, and they'll take it. At this point.
I know, yeah. That's true. This is just complete no man's land for the Cowboys now because they've just paid Dak a lot of money. It's not like they can get rid. It's not like they can, you know, look for someone in the draft because you're not trading that contract after you've just given it to him. CeeDee Lamb obviously just got the payment. Micah Parsons is going to be expecting a bag at the end of the year. This is the team. I don't know what else to say. This is the team. And, you know, as Jerry Jones quite flippantly said, which I don't agree with, but he is correct in that the team only won 3 games with Dak Prescott healthy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
The team that he assembled.
Assembled, yeah. Exactly. It's sort of a cell phone, really. Yeah. The biggest cell phone, yeah, money-wise.
Not as cell phone-y as building a stadium so the sun shines directly in your end zone.
going amiss that. I think this, yeah, Mike McCarthy. How many games are left of the season? Of the actual NFL season, is it 8?
8.
8. 2 more months in Dallas for Mike McCarthy. Yeah. So just do what you want to do. Go to Six Flags. Go to any shops that you haven't been to yet, any restaurants,
the JFK Museum,
Mike McCarthy, because you won't have much chance in a couple of months.
Yeah. That's only quite ominous, actually. Coming directly after we've been speaking about JFK.
Don't go to the specific spot.
Yeah, because you're getting fired.
The grassy knoll.
You're going to lose your job, is what we're saying.
There are 2 of us. Maybe they were twins. Yeah. The guy on the grassy knoll.
Yeah, maybe.
Dalton Kincaid, tight end for the Bills. exited with a knee injury. He came back in the game a little bit, but then ultimately had to leave early. So maybe he'll play this week. I mean, he's hopeful that he was able to come back in, but he did end up having to be ruled out. But, I mean, he wasn't like...
It's a big game this week, though.
Sam Laporta, similar stuff, but shoulder injury. He tried coming back in, but couldn't. But, yeah, couldn't do it. He's day-to-day, though. Hopefully he can play this coming week. Tank Bigsby... exited in the first quarter with an ankle injury. There's no word on practice status this week or anything, but you know, keep an eye out if you're Travis Etienne manager, because maybe that's Etienne's path to relevance again. Same team, Trevor Lawrence. He missed the game with a shoulder injury sustained against the Eagles. It's his non-throwing shoulder, but it's that bad that they hope that he can just rest and recover, but there's fear that he will miss quite a bit of time, and I've read potentially season-ending surgery. Look at where this team is. That is very much on the table because they're not playing for anything at this point. So it would not shock me. I mean, we're recording this on Tuesday night. It's going to be released on Thursday. Listen, if by the time this is out or that Thursday night it's announced that Trevor Lawrence is going to be out for the rest of the season, that would not shock me, which is why I am clamouring. Even, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing Brian Thomas to anybody for anyone. I'm still trying to get someone for him, but I am cautiously trying to trade away Brian Thomas Jr. right now, really, just because I'm quite frightened about this news and frightened at what I saw from Mac Jones. And then Nico Collins ended up missing the game. That killed me in a few leagues because I have Nico Collins in quite a lot. And, you know what it's like over here. Like, they were the Sunday night game, got to be up early for work in the morning. I just couldn't stay up and wait for him to be ruled in or out. So some leagues had contingency plans where you can, you know, do like an auto sub or something like that if a guy misses, but in a lot of leagues I couldn't, and that meant that I had a big fat goose egg on my team. Hopefully he can suit up next game, but it's a Monday night game against Dallas. So if we have the whole thing again of questionable, questionable, questionable all week, you're going to be with the same headache. So maybe I'll maybe have a better contingency plan for that. But yeah, hopefully he's practicing in full by then. If not, wow, that's going to be annoying. Mm. And then a bit of news: Shane Waldron has been fired as the Bears offensive coordinator.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
I'm sure. Jackson Smith and Jigba. If you don't know the clip, I'm sure we've said it before, but he gets asked about Shane Waldron in the offseason, because obviously Shane Waldron was the Seattle offensive coordinator. He left. Smith and Jigba gets asked about him. He proceeds to pause, ask if the show is live,
and then say that he's a great guy.
Yeah, class.
He's out, which, yeah, look at this team's offensive performance for the last month. That's not a shock at all, really. But we like to keep ourselves accountable on the show, don't we, Al? We do.
Accountability section fast becoming the why you should stop listening to this podcast section.
It was a pretty awful week. Really awful. I've not had a hit in 2 weeks now.
Yeah. This is a fantasy football podcast. If you're just tuning in and you heard what Lewis just said out of context.
So, yeah.
Although for all those kind of, you know, cold turkey podcasts.
Yeah.
So, Lou, you had Stafford, which was a miss, Kareem Hunt and Zay Flowers. Kareem Hunt kind just about hit his projection. I've got Zay Flowers here as just not a hit. I'm not sure. Can you just double check the projection on that
one?
Keep
going.
Hunter Henry was a miss, though. Jared Goff, for me, at quarterback was a miss. I mean, you know, five interceptions will do that to you. Like, what?
Yeah.
Tyrone Tracy and Darnell Mooney pretty much hit the projections, as did Mike Gesicki. Chapel's Dan Jones only got him the 12 points, so he was a miss at quarterback. Aaron Jones and Tyreek Hill. Here's the thing about Tyreek Hill. So he was projected 15.7. Sharples has got him here at 11.7. Now, I know we do four above, four below. So does it mean
if it's 4 points above,
yeah,
then that is counted as a hit. Yeah. So does that mean if exactly 4 points below is counted as a miss, or is that within the...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think 4 points below, it's count. Yeah, it is counted within.
Within
but
the...
4 points up is technically a hit. You know what I mean? It, like, carries over.
Okay,
I don't know.
Yeah. You round it up.
We round it up.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike Andrews, let's leave it on high. 18.8 points. It was very good. Did you find out the...
I didn't, but a 7.4 to me just feels like a miss. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I can't find it. I can't pull it up. Listen, for our actual records, I will go back and listen to last week's podcast because I did say what he was projected then. But, yeah. I think that's a miss, really. That's a miss. Which I'm not on a great run, I'll be honest with you. Like, these guys, Flowers, Henry, the Stafford, they were on heaters. They were on absolute heaters. And just didn't. Just as soon as I pick it, I'm just having a look at my. I mean, yeah. We're not doing you any favours here for the podcast at the moment. I'm very sorry for
going to get it down as a miss. We'll go back and check it, but yeah, I think we're going to get it down as a miss.
Great, fantastic. But before we look ahead properly to next week, Al, I just wanted to have a quick chat about trade targets. In a lot of leagues, the fantasy football trade deadline is around this week, between weeks 10 and 11. So I was just thinking, midway through the season, sort of edging closer to the fantasy football playoffs, is there anyone we think you should be trading for? Obviously, you know, you can look at strength of schedule, you can look at, you know, trends in terms of usage and stuff. Is there anyone who you think... I want to kick it off with Josh Jacobs. He's been solid all year. He's been decent. He's had double-digit fantasy points in all games but one. He started off steady, but not amazing. He's been really hotting up recently. He's averaging 17 points per game in his last five games. He's only had three rushing touchdowns so far this year. I think that number has to go up. And those three rushing touchdowns have come in this past five hot streak games, I'll put it. So I think you can expect more rushing touchdowns from Jacobs. This is one of the easiest strength of schedules for running backs going forward. There's a couple of tricky matchups for Green Bay in Detroit and Minnesota, but even those games, I think they're going to be competitive. And when you have competitive games between teams like this, there's going to be fantasy points to go around. So regardless of if it's a tough matchup or not for running backs, I still think Jacobs could have decent days there. But outside of those two, you have matchups that are all bottom half in terms of defending the run. So you have a really nice strength of schedule for Green Bay on the ground. Green Bay's a team they need to push on. They need to catch up. They need to really announce themselves as competitors. And I think they can do that. They have the pieces to do that. That lies also with, you know, keeping Jacobs and the running game rolling. I think he's going to get a hell of a lot of work going forward. The key with Jacobs is, obviously, if we talk about who do you want to trade for, obviously you have Saquon Barkley, Karen, Jahmyr Gibbs. In reality, you're not going to be able to get those. They're untradeable. You're not going to be able to. I don't think Josh Jacobs is an untradeable asset. I think you know he's the running back 19 at the minute, so he's not. It's not like he's a top 10 guy who people guarding with the life. If you package him up with another decent running back or a high-end wide receiver, you could get him. And I do think he's going to outperform a lot of those guys who are above him right now in those rankings. So Josh Jacobs is the guy who I've been trying to go out for in leagues. Check strength of schedules, Anyone who you want to mention, Al?
Yeah, I think Mike Evans is a good shout. Chris Godwin is done. He's done for the year, right, Godwin?
Yeah, big time.
So Chris Godwin's done, so he's going to be the dude when he comes back. I think he's going to get absolutely peppered with targets. And you just look at the Buccaneers' schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if the Buccaneers won six of the last seven games, to be honest with you. They've got to play the Panthers twice. They've got the Giants. They've got the Saints and the Panthers and the Cowboys. And that is in
in fantasy playoff season as well. They've got to play the Raiders. Tough one against the Chargers, but realistically, that's about it. I also think the Bills have a nice schedule to end the season. I think they've got a couple of games against New England, and they play the Jets as well towards the end of the year. So not only is that for James Cook, but for instance, it's time to start thinking about those defenses. And if you've got a defense that's in the top 10 now, meaning they're a pretty good real life defense and they could score you fantasy points, look at the schedule. I was about to drop the Bills defense in my main league this week. I looked at that playoff schedule. I realized they had New England twice. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to sit on this. Don't get me wrong, they've got some awful matchups in the next month or so. I'm probably not going to play them, but I think it's worth keeping hold so that, you know, we saw the Bills defense this week put up about 17 points. It's worth holding that. So before you drop a defense, especially if you've got a top 10 one, check that playoff schedule. Because it might be worth sitting on some, because it's not going to be very easy to come by one of those. To come by one of those on your waiver wire when it comes to kind of a fantasy playoff season.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's look ahead to week 11. Week 11 in the National Football League. It's going by a clip.
Yeah.
This is not good.
I know.
We'll start as we always do, Al.
Forget about it.
Yep, it's with the forget about it section. Players that are locked into your lineup, no matter what, at each position. Don't even worry about it. Just put them in there. So at the quarterback position, we've got Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, and Jane Daniels.
Forget about it.
Running backs, we've got McCaffrey, Kamara, Mixon, Barkley, Bijan Robinson, Derek Henry.
Forget about it.
Wide receivers. Now, some of these wide receivers have been pretty tanked recently, but let's go. We've got Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown, Drake London.
Forget about it.
It's a thin wide receiver one.
Well, I mean, really, you know, we should have had Garrett Wilson in there. We should have had CeeDee Lamb in there, but I feel like those plays have almost been tanked by the situations in those offenses.
Yeah, sure.
At the tight end position, we're going Kelce, Kittle, Bowers.
Forget about it.
What did I say about Travis Kelce? He's back.
Yes.
And do you know, in our league, I didn't even need to trade for him.
Because you...
Some fool who may or may not listen to this podcast offered me him for Keon Coleman, and I snatched his hand off.
Ooh, so... Keon Coleman's hand? Is that why he's out with a wrist injury?
Yes, it is.
Well done.
I said, get out of here.
well done. Let's move on to our projection beaters. Guys who we think are going to outscore the ESPN projection by 4 or more points. Al, you just dropped your phone. You were that startled by my quarterback pick.
Well, I was startled by it because it was mine, but I forgot to tell you, so I'm going to have to pivot last minute.
Did you actually?
Yeah, no, but I already knew. It's not like I found out now. I knew a couple of hours ago.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Mine. Thank you.
As if you were startled then. Good stuff. Great stuff. I mean, without further ado then, quarterback, I'm going CJ Stroud. Projected 16.6 points. It's been a turbulent season for Stroud, really. I mean, for whatever reason, he just hasn't taken that next step. Really, from his like really impressive rookie season, you know, we've had injuries to the skill position players. You know, I mean, arguably his best two, certainly his number one receiver in Collins, been injured for a significant portion of the season, but that's bound to impact you, of course. Collins should be back this week, though. Collins should be back, and he makes a hell of a difference for CJ Stroud. I mean, CJ Stroud, with and without Nico Collins, he's averaging 5 fewer points per game in fantasy without Nico Collins. That's a hell of a lot, really. So, obviously, Diggs has been out in that period too without Collins, but I think Collins is the guy who he's the main weapon. So, with him back, I think that Stroud can start sort of rebuilding that fantasy season for himself, really. You know, I don't think there's a better team or destination to rebound as well than the opponent this week against Dallas in Dallas.
Yeah.
Recipe for success if there ever has been one. The Cowboys have been absolutely cooked up at home going back to last season now. this is not a defense that scares you. Even with Micah Parsons back, they just conceded 34 points to the Eagles. So Texans, I think they're going to, you know, they can get back on track here. I think they're going to want to, after a disappointing loss to the Lions. Yeah, CJ Stroud is my pick at quarterback. Al?
Nice. I'm going to go Tua Tagovailoa, projected 14.4 versus Las Vegas. Las Vegas ranked 25th against fantasy quarterbacks. Now, it's not been amazing for Tua this season at all, but he has kind of sneakily thrown over 200 yards in the three games that he's played so far, and he's played some tough defenses there. So I think this Miami offense is going to get, it's going to get chugging now. It's going to get going a little bit. They're back in Miami this week, so I like it as a bit of a kind of kickstarter to the fantasy season, you know, 11 weeks in for these players. But I would start Tua, I would start Hill, maybe not Waddle. But I would start those two main people with confidence this week, back in the elements, back in Miami, you know. So, yeah, let's go two of this week with a beatable projection.
Cool, cool. Sharples has gone for Jared Goff, projected 15.1 points, going up against the Jaguars. So, you know, repeat it with me now, five more picks.
Yep.
For Alex Sharples. Running back, I'm going with Josh Jacobs. I mean, I think I summed a lot of it up in you know, why I think you should trade for him. But they're coming off a bye. Projected 14.4 points in this one. Coming off a bye against a reeling Chicago Bears team. Maybe galvanized on offense, though, I guess. I don't know. But the reeling, you know, they're a decent defense overall. But, you know, Arizona have ran all over them the other week. So I don't think that's out of the question. I think Packers, they could get up quick this one and lean on Jacobs, and he'll have a lot of work under his belt. So Josh Jacobs is my running back pick.
I'm going to go Nick Chubb, projected 14.3 at New Orleans. New Orleans are bottom three against fantasy running backs. They're giving up about 24 points per game, to be honest with you. And Chubb, it's not been good at all since he's been back, but he is getting those like 15 carries per game, so you're kind of just waiting for something to click, waiting for one of those kind of big plays to kind of come up, and just waiting for him to find a gap, find a seam somewhere. And I think he's got a chance, well, he's got the best chance of that happening this week than he's had since he's been back. You know, he's been against Cincinnati, then Baltimore and the Chargers, so they've not been particularly easy games, particularly on the ground. But this week, it's a favourable matchup. I would say if Chubb doesn't do it this week, then you probably want out. But let's give it this week. Let's wait until he's got a good matchup and see what he can do. So, yeah, 14.3 at New Orleans.
Nice. Sharples is going for Austin Eckler, projected 8.8 points. Listen, I think the cynical part of me is you know, I wouldn't say cynical, I just know how that man works. He's going for Austin Eckler in the hope that Brian Robinson Jr. is ruled out again and Eckler's projection will shoot up, but Sharples got it when it was at 8.8. I see you, most Sharples. Likely, yeah. I see you, what you're doing, mate. Wide receiver, it gives me absolute, utter pleasure to tell you all that I'm going with Cortland Sutton as my wide receiver projection.
You'll never learn, will you?
At 12.8. Listen, he laid an absolute goose egg in week 7. He was out there on the field, but got 0 points for fantasy football. But in the three games following, he's produced a stat line of 21 receptions, 292 receiving yards, and a touchdown. That's just one fewer touchdown than all the previous games this season for him. That's the same amount of receptions as all the previous games in the season, and that's 15 more yards than all the previous games this season. So he's on one hell of a hot streak, really. It's fair to say that he and Bo Nix have found the groove together, I think, and they're against Atlanta this week, who just gave up an inexplicably big game to MVS. So, listen, I don't think it's out of the question that Sutton has a really good game here. Atlanta on the season, they're giving up 35 points a game to wide receivers. This one feels nice. My old friend, my dear Cortland Sutton. I've got faith in him this week.
I'm going to go with Nico Collins,
projected 15.7 at Dallas.
This is a cheat code.
Yeah,
just because he's been out.
Yeah, it is a cheat code because we're talking about a guy who, for all the reasons that you just said, Lou, about Stroud, you know, you can get at Dallas, particularly at home, but it's a guy who many people feel like could be, like, points per game wise, the wide receiver one when he comes back. You're getting him at a 15-point projection. He should absolutely eclipse that easily. This offense can't work without him in it. Clearly, he's the best wide receiver there, and they need him. He's a necessity to make this team work. So if he plays, then this is a no-brainer. So I'm going Nico Collins.
Yeah, I feel like you can get away with this because obviously, like, if he plays and exactly. stuff like, I don't think you do this often, but I feel like you're wielding the power of the forget about it this week, man.
Oh yes,
to your advantage. Alex Sharples, he has gone for, drum roll please, Puka Nacua. He's gone for Puka Nacua, projected 15.2 points this week. Yeah, I mean, again, another guy who, all being well, would usually be forget about it, but not quite there this week. But yeah, Puka Nacua. Tight end, I'm going for Will Dissly, projected 8.1 points. He's had a nice role in the Chargers offense since the Chargers bye week. So in the last 5 weeks, he's actually led the team in targets and receptions, 32 and 24 respectively. Fantasy production has been modest, but listen, at the tight end position, having someone you think is going to be decently involved is key, I think. And the Chargers, they're against the Bengals this week, who are giving up over 20 points a game. Two tight ends. We know what this Bengals offense can do, so I think that the Chargers need to be prepared to continue the trend that we've seen since the bye week, which is to lean on Justin Herbert. And let him sort of take control of the game for him and win the game for him. And in turn, I think that'll mean Dissly is nicely involved again.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Dalton Kincaid, provided that he plays against Kansas City this weekend, projected 11.9. Now, Kansas City are bottom two against fantasy tight ends. But I mean, I'm not necessarily worried about that number. The numbers that I do like are the ones that tell me that Kincaid's had almost 30 targets over the past month. He's really vital to this offense. 10 targets 2 weeks ago, you know, so he's being used. And you've got receivers for the Bills who are pretty banged up as well. I think he's just going to establish himself even more as the season goes on. It's been a little bit of a disappointing season based on what you expected. However, he's a really usable fantasy option. And in a good matchup, an 11.9 projection for a guy who could lead the team in targets is a good pick in my eyes. So, yeah, Kincaid.
Nice. And Alex Sharples is going Tucker Kraft, Green Bay Packers tight end against the Bears. Projected 8.6 points. Listen, that might be a steal. I mean, Kraft's averaging over 10 points a game this season, so that might be a steal. Mm-hmm. Alex Sharples isn't here to give us his game tiers, so I'm not going to insult him and appropriate that segment. But I just want to talk about a couple of games that we're excited about. I mean, for me, it's this. We could be on a historic run here of great Thursday night games, because I'm most excited for the Thursday night game. The Eagles-Commanders, Eagles 7-2, Commanders 7-3. Coin toss who's going to win the division between the two of them at the minute. I would lean the Eagles personally, Al. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, at the minute I would lean the Eagles. Sorry, I'm just taken aback by the fact that, like, I don't know what they've done to us, the NFL, but apart from the Steelers-Ravens, every 6 o'clock game is exclusively absolutely awful. Dolphins, Raiders, Saints, Browns, Grim. Jets, Colts, Grim. Titans, Vikings, Grim. Patriots, Rams, Bears, Packers, Lions,
Yeah.
What are they doing to us? I mean, Bills, Chiefs, 9:30 Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. That's the ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the one. I'm intrigued by the Chargers, Bengals, because, you know, two good teams for quite different reasons, I guess. Mm. But yeah, Bills Chiefs is always a bit of a blockbuster, isn't it?
I think the Chargers win that game. Yeah. Just with the Bengals season is just going that way where it's like they're doing so much and they can't pull these victories out. So yeah.
Agreed. Any closing thoughts, Al?
Well, I suppose with our eyes on the fantasy playoffs, what realistically, Lou, are you saying in terms of giving up, losing hope, you know?
in our league, there's teams that are on two wins that could still get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Don't take your foot off the gas, even if you have the playoffs clinched. But I don't know, Lou. What are you saying in terms of, like, you know, if you are one of those teams that's on two wins, that's on three wins, but is still in touching distance of the playoffs in their league, what advice would you give them? What moves should they make?
Listen, don't give up. I think if you're one of those teams that, you know, needs wins now, trade away the depth. Trade your depth. Get the wins now.
It's all about getting into the playoffs.
It is
that.
It's
all about buying a ticket.
It absolutely
to the
is.
Game,
listen.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. In our main league, I just lost this week to our dear friend Chris, who is on a 3-game winning streak. He started off 1-6, and he's now 4-6.
In the playoffs at the minute, is he?
He's not in the playoffs at the minute, even though there is 4 teams on 4-6 and 2 teams on 5-5. So it's incredibly close and early. But, I mean, we were sending memes in the chat. We were all... You know, the assumption was that Chris was done this year.
Yeah.
He was done, and now he's a win away from being in the playoffs, really. So, you know, you never know. But I would say if you're one of those teams that needs wins, trade away the depth, get some guys you can
start
play right now.
Up the W's.
Start racking up and then worry about the rest later.
Exactly. Just
worry about
the
rest later.
Take it week by week. You never know what's going to happen to someone else's team in a week's time, 2 weeks' time. Take it week by week. Play the person that's in front of you this week and try to beat them this week.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Thank you very much for listening,
as
always. See you later.
See you later.